Well, hello, good afternoon, good morning, good evening, and welcome to the Argyle podcast. This is a slightly croakier than normal Jim from the offside.com welcoming you to another session of review, preview, and analysis of the fortunes of Plymouth Argyle Football Club. And yeah, everyone's feeling a little downbeat at the moment, to be quite honest. A far from inspiring performance at the Majeski Stadium in those impressive, but ultimately, I think, really rather soulless surroundings. I knew I was going for a bad day when I was harmlessly trying to take pictures of the warm-up before the start of the game through that stupid netting that they hang on either side of the goals there, and was told in no uncertain terms by one of their, frankly, rather officious stewards that cameras were not allowed and I had better put mine away pretty darn sharpish. So didn't even have any pictures to remind me of Argyle's pretty dismal performance, really, on Saturday afternoon. Not, frankly, that Reading were so much better. Two goals from corners for Ibrahim Asonko. You know, the second one, a carbon copy of the first. The first one was right in front of me. I was sitting in row E, which is quite a nice place to sit at the Mad Stand, because with the raked seating, you do get some elevation, but you're close to the action. And Asonko just left Rory Fallon standing ready as the corner came over, and it was a free header. And from what I could judge at the other end in the second half, the second one was exactly the same. He's a big, strong guy, Asonko, and put in what I thought was a man of the match performance at centre half for the Hoops anyway. But you can't do that in this league, really. Leave a guy who you know they're going to target. And Stephen Hunt was putting it on a plate for him, and no excuses, really. And we never really looked like getting back into it, except with about sort of 20, 25 left when Sturrock made some changes, took off Jamie Mackie and Simon Walton, both who'd had, you know, really for them quite poor games. Walton looked extremely tired, and Mackie really was not getting any joy out of anybody. You know, as game as he is, he still lacks the cuteness, really, to beat a player and to get past his man and to create too much stuff for himself or for other people. And as soon as McLean came on, and I know he's got his detractors and I know people think he's lazy, but he really did give Argyle an extra dimension and lifted the play, and all of a sudden we started playing football, and Summerfield had somebody he could actually pass to who was going to do something with the ball. Puncheon could find some room. And we had three or four not bad opportunities. First one, ironically, for McLean himself, when an absolutely delicious cross from Puncheon from the left just skimmed off his quiff, really. Really, another inch or two, and it would have been in the back of the net. A diving header was a cracking move, really. And then two shots from Puncheon, which grazed the outside of the Reading post. It really does look to me as though a wide on the left is going to be his position. And, yeah, if he can find that accuracy and find that first goal, I think we could well have a gem on our hands. But Reading also had opportunities to add to their score. Bobby Convey had two absolutely nailed-on sitters in front of goal that he decided to blaze over. And to be honest, the guy, apart from Sonko, who impressed me the most on the Reading side, was their right winger, a guy called Kebe, who really had the beating of Chris Barker all afternoon, and who looks strong and pacey and really, yeah, going to be a top championship player. So there we are. We're languishing down in 18th position at the moment with just a solitary point from our two games and no progress in the Carling Cup. Starrick is looking at bringing new players in, as we keep hearing. Whether they'll arrive or not is another question. Apparently, there's a deal for Darren Gibson of Man United to come on loan, which Ferguson is currently stalling over because of Man United's injury crisis in the midfield. Didn't help us that Michael Carrick decided to get himself injured the first day of the season. And we're also looking at Spurs striker Thomas Pechard, who apparently is very, very good indeed. The Glenn Whelan deal, so I'm led to believe, is still not dead, and there are one or two other irons in the fire. As you may have seen in the press, the transfer deadline has now been extended until close of business on Monday, September the 1st. The Football Association and Football League only just having worked out that August the 31st is a Sunday. If they'd phoned me up, I could have told them that a long time ago. And so we wait and see. That's just over a week that we've got to get our squad up to something like competitive. But what of Saturday's upcoming match, televised live on Sky, which a good thing for the Exiles, maybe not such a good thing for the club. It's a good thing for me, as I can't be at the game. I will be with my family at a festival. I indulge myself with one festival a year, and it's always August bank holiday. I'm going to be hoping that someone's going to record the game for me, and following it via the modern delights of my mobile phone. Swansea have come up from League One, sweeping all before them, with their young Spanish manager Roberto Martinez really breathing a breath of life into a side that, for a number of years now has really been in the doldrums. And they've got a flash new stadium, and by all accounts, a flash new team. And should be something of a titanic struggle. They were beaten in their opening game at Charlton, where they had the upper hand, so I'm led to believe, for much of the afternoon, but conceded a couple of soft goals and then really outplayed and outperformed their fellow promotees, Forest, last week. So, interesting, so the last time we played Swansea at Home Park was September 11th, 2001. And I recall the game taking place in a really very, very eerie atmosphere indeed, unsurprisingly so, given the events that were unfolding that afternoon. And there had been some debate, I think, at the time as to whether the match should indeed go ahead. I think, obviously, the view at the end was that it probably should, and that normal service should be tried to maintain as much as possible. And Argyle won very comfortably by 3-1. And I think this is right. This was John Hollins' last match in charge of Swansea before he was given the elbow. Awful lot of water under the bridge since then. Two promotions for Argyle, two promotions also for the Swans. And I'm delighted that Chris Kidwell, a Swansea City fan and contributor to the BBC 606 site, has agreed to answer some questions for our lowdown on Swansea City. Da, 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 da. So, welcome, Chris. And the first thing we like to ask here on the Argyle podcast is, how do you feel about your first couple of games?
After the first couple of games, it's left us all down in Swansea feeling very confident about the rest of the season, to be honest. I mean, the first game away at Charlton, very tricky game to go to. And I mean, we go there, play them off the park. Alan Pardew says we embarrassed them in the midfield, and we just couldn't create those clear cut chances which we're going to need in this division. In League One, you could probably get away with that, but this season, we aren't going to get away with we're not putting away the chances that we get. Gave away two sloppy goals, both from set pieces as well. So we have to try and sort that out. But the Forest game, we were much better, much more like ourselves. It was good to win at home, and we dominated the play again. First half, we should have gone in 3-4 nil up, but one all at half time. But we came out the second half, got a bit lucky with the penalty, and went 3-1. But as long as we play the way we are and keep putting in good performances, I can't see any reason why we can't do well in this division.
Well, nice to hear you sounding so upbeat, Chris. Roberto Martinez has had a bit of a dabble in the transfer market since your promotion. Have you been impressed by the people he's bought?
So far, I've been really impressed with our new signings. First off, we have Ashley Williams, who we bought off Stockport for a record transfer fee. He plays centre back, and Martinez has shown great faith in sticking him straight into the lineup, where on Saturday he marked Earnshaw off the park, so he's doing really well. Then we've got Gorka Mintado, obviously scored a great goal against Forest as well. I think he can definitely do that against a lot of teams. Then we've got Yordi Gomez, Freddy Bisson, Albert Saran, Mark Gow, and Fabian Brandy have all also come in. Lots of them done really well in pre-season. Unlucky Freddy Bisson is out for 6 weeks now with a with a broken rib, but all the others are definitely pushing for starting places, and it's added lots of competition into the squad, and has definitely made all the players more competitive and more hungry to fight for their place in the starting lineup.
Very interesting, Chris. I think the only one of those people that you mentioned that I'm immediately familiar with is Mark Gower, the former Southend winger, who I believe Argyle were interested in themselves during the close season. Certainly his was one of the names that was linked with us. Honestly, though, how do you think it's going to go for you and Swansea this season?
Honestly, this season, I reckon the Swans should be looking to come around 10th to 14th position, which is middle mid table. I reckon we definitely won't get relegated, and it would be extremely lucky if we got into the playoffs. This season's just all about consolidation, really. I mean, it won't be until about the 15th, 20th game where we'll actually get a proper feel of where we're going to finish in this division, and then depending on where we do finish, I guess we'll have to look at changing the squad, getting rid of some players who couldn't cut the mustard in this division, and strengthening, and then maybe in a few seasons, perhaps we'll be in a position where we can push on and try and get into the Premiership. But right now, it's just all about staying in the Championship and seeing how we do this season.
Season of consolidation then for Swansea. I think we've been saying that every year since we arrived in this division. So there you go. Who in your side is going to cause Argyle real problems on Saturday?
I'd say that the players that should cause Plymouth the most problems on Saturday are firstly Jason Scotland. Obviously, he's a great striker, scored 29 goals last season, and he's still not off the mark this season, so no doubt he'll be looking to get his first one away at Plymouth. Then in the centre of midfield, we've got Ferry Boda, who's our Dutch Roy Keane. He's definitely one to keep an eye on during the match. He wins the ball back a lot for us and also gets forward to support the strikers. Then down the left, we've got Tom Butler, who's probably the most underrated player at Swansea at the moment. He always beats his man, I find, and either cuts in on his right foot and spanks it, and that's where he gets most of his goals, or he takes it down the left and can still whip in a good cross with his left foot. So he's definitely one to watch out for and who could hurt Plymouth on Saturday.
I think it's going to be very interesting to see how Ferry Boda shapes up. Obviously, people in the Championship have heard quite a bit about him, and looking forward to seeing how he goes. What, if any, weaknesses does Swansea have that Argyle should be targeting?
Swansea's biggest weakness right now probably stems from our goalkeeper, Doris de Vries. It's not because he's a bad keeper, but because we haven't got a number two goalkeeper in our squad at the moment, and so he has no pressure on him to perform well in matches. I mean, the flap at the cross against Forest, which led to Forest's goal, was diabolical, to be honest. And then the two goals at Charlton were obviously from set pieces, which you would expect the goalkeeper to be commanding his area, telling his defenders where to go. And obviously there was confusion, and that led to the two goals. So I'd say if Plymouth want to exploit these weaknesses, then try and win free kicks around the box, win plenty of corners, and make sure you get down the wings and put in lots of crosses, because right now Doris isn't dealing with crosses very well at all. So that's probably where Plymouth need to attack to hurt the Swans.
Dodgy keeper, eh? Well, certainly all those set pieces will be right up Sturrock's Street. Is there anyone on the Argyle side who you're worried about from a Swansea point of view?
I'd probably be lying if I said I knew a lot about the current Plymouth squad, and I'd definitely be hard pushed to name some players in your squad which I could just pinpoint out and say they are going to hurt the Swans. But I mean, Plymouth have been in the squad in the Championship now for a good number of years, and I'm assuming that your squad is built up on quality and experience to do well in the Championship. So I'm not expecting it to be an easy match. It's going to be a really hard match for the Swans to play Plymouth, especially at home park. And I'll probably know a lot more about your players after the match, to be honest.
Fair enough. Of course, the one player that you may be familiar with, Chris, is Rory Fallon, who we bought from you for 300,000 about 18 months ago, who I know didn't make much of an impression at Swansea, and who's just started to find his feet in the Argyle front line. So here's hoping he can rub your noses in it a little bit. Finally, Chris, how about a score prediction?
My score prediction for Saturday is 2-1 or 3-1 to the Swans. It's almost definitely a biased prediction as I don't really know much about the Plymouth squad, as I stated earlier. But, maybe after the match I'll have a different view on what the scoreline at the Liberty will be. But I feel the confidence gained from the Nottingham Forest match should see us through this one. But I mean, we are in the Championship. Any team can win any game, and we'll just have to wait and see how it goes.
Should be an intriguing tie. Huge and very, very grateful thanks to Chris Kidwell from 606 for answering all of the podcast questions. That's about it from me for today. Here's hoping that this time next week we're looking at a significant change of fortune for the Greens, both on and off the field. Oh, and by the way, if you were one of the guys shouting abuse at Akos Bouzaki at the Reading game, do everyone a favour, won't you? Everyone. And just don't come, because nobody wants that. Nobody wants to hear that. Especially not real Argyle supporters who hold him in a great deal of affection and esteem. I hope I speak for most of you when I say we just don't want to hear it. There we go then. All the best to the boys in green for Saturday's game against the Swans. Thanks again to Chris Kidwell, and to all the rest of you out there, keep it green.